In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, it's time to talk movies, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema Tent, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge, right here gracing our studios this afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, young man?
I'm great.
Glad to hear that.
Have you been outside, man?
Yeah.
That's what I need. Yeah.
I'm wearing shorts. You wearing shorts?
I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
Get those white legs out there, baby.
Oh, man, the sooner the better, because... You know, it's we need to do something to take the edge off before I blind somebody,
sear
somebody's retinas.
Long sleeve shirts, both of you though. I will point that out.
That is Maine.
Yeah, I mean it's not like it's July, like
right. But I can take this off. I've got t-shirt underneath.
Yeah, I guess
it's unbuttoned. It's very casual.
See, I went the other way. Short sleeve shirt, long pants.
Yeah, I don't like wearing pants. That much, like in the summertime.
Yes, and HR has been talked to.
My summer rule is this: I wear pants for two reasons: weddings and funerals. Otherwise, not wearing pants.
Yeah, no, it's you'll have to come up with a really good reason to get me in long pants between, you know, say
now.
Yeah, between between the 1st of May and, you know, mid September.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Here we go. So you got to some movies this weekend.
Huh? I did. I got to see a couple.
Anything of note?
I mean, depends on what you mean by of note.
Okay. Really bad or really good?
Pretty bad.
All right.
Pretty bad.
I've said this before. I often enjoy those reviews even more. So let them have it.
Well, we'll start with Smurfs, The Lost Village.
Not enough money on this planet.
You know, I tell you what, it's remarkable that the folks at Sony are still churning these guys out. My wife, bless her heart, she went with me because, and we've talked about this before, I can't really go to the kids' movies by myself because it makes everybody uncomfortable.
Why is that man in the back all by himself writing things down? What is he doing?
So much side eye. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. But yeah, it's actually the third Smurfs movie, although this is, I guess you could call it a reboot. It's a full-on animated version as opposed to the sort of live-action animation hybrids of the first two. This is an entirely new continuity.
Oh, good.
So, you know, I'm sure you were concerned about that.
So I could jump in having not seen the
others. Right, you don't need the first two. You'll be fine.
And Smurfette still a tramp?
I mean, kind of. Okay. Like, she kind of ruins everything, truth be told. I feel a little weird even talking about it. It's the basic gist is Smurfette is struggling with her identity because, you know, the Smurfs, their whole deal is like their names are define what their deal is. Mm. You know, whether it's, you know, you've got Clumsy Smurf and Hefty Smurf and Brainy Smurf and all that jazz. Well, Smurfette, what kind of Smurf is she? She doesn't know. So she's struggling with that, plus the whole fact that, you know, she's not really a Smurf because Gargamel made her. And then they discover a whole new village, a lost village of other Smurfs.
Oh.
Only in this one, instead of all being dudes, they're all lady Smurfs.
What?
Yeah, like a whole other village of lady Smurfs, which, you know, doesn't get as interesting as you might think it would.
No.
Yeah,
but it's a kid's film.
And yeah, and then, you know, Gargamel, voiced by Rainn Wilson, of all people.
Sure.
Chasing everybody around, wanting to take their magic and make himself into the world's greatest wizard.
Yeah, I've never understood. Chris, now, you know, I see more kid stuff than ever before with a little guy at home. I've never understood the appeal of the Smurfs.
Yeah, like when I was a kid. Like, I had my Smurf phase. Like, I was never, like, super into it. But, you know, it's like I remember, you know, their names and stuff like that. Like, I knew the name of the cat and crap like that. But the thing about this movie is it's remarkable the amount of talent involved. Because I mentioned Rainn Wilson. But Joe Manganiello is in it. Danny Pudi, Jack McBrayer. Ellie Kemper, Michelle Rodriguez, Julia Roberts is in this movie. Wow. Mandy Patinkin.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just, it's like you wonder what these people are doing other than, you know, collecting checks, which, okay, that's what they're doing. They're collecting
or
checks.
Or if they have kids or grandkids.
I suppose that's very true too. Yeah. Like, there's gotta be something nice for some of these folks to be able to do a movie where you know that your kid can go see it, I guess.
But does it even work as a kid's movie?
Yeah, I mean, it better, because it certainly doesn't work as an adult movie.
Yeah.
Like, I felt a little dumber walking out of there. I'm not going to lie. I will say there were, you know, the kids in the screening that I saw were, you know, entertained enough, I guess. Like, they weren't, you know, bouncing off the seats or shouting or throwing things or anything. So that's usually a win, because some of these movies, there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess I'll take it. But yeah, I just, you know, you just hope that that maybe this is the end of the line, because there's so much good animated fare out there that there's just no reason for mediocrities like this to, you know, to make any sort of money. So you kind of hope they peter out and leave more room for the Disneys and the Pixars and even the DreamWorks of the world.
All right. So that's one. What else did you see?
Oh, man. So I saw Going in Style.
Oh, you know, I love the original with Jack Benny and Art Carney. I'm trying to and was it Lee Strasberg?
Holy crap. I didn't even know this was a remake.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want to say 1979. Oh. And it was a hoot. It was great.
Okay. That's
Oh, no. George Burns. Not Jack Benny. George Burns. Lee Strasberg and Art Carney.
Okay, well, that makes a little bit more sense considering the quality of talent that was involved in this movie, because it's Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin, Ted Melfi, the Hidden Figures guy. He wrote the screenplay, and then, you know, we get to the director, who was Zach Braff.
What?
Zach Braff directed this movie, right? Like, I had no idea going in, and it was one of those, like, genuinely shocking. It's like, wow, so this is what Zach Braff is doing now.
Yeah, there's a picture of the 1979 original.
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that one is probably better.
It was very good.
Than this one.
Very good.
Because this was not a very good movie. Yeah, the basic gist is, Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin, they're retired steel workers. Like, they used to work at the steel mill, you know, they're living on their pensions and stuff like that. And they discover that the company has been sold overseas and it's getting broken up for parts. And so their pension is being defunded. So they're not going to be able to pay their bills. And Michael Caine, who's ostensibly the main character, I guess you'd go so far as to say that. He's behind on his mortgage and he's going to lose his house, which means that not only will he be out on the street, but his daughter and his granddaughter will also be out on the street. Doesn't know what he's going to do, and then winds up inadvertently being at the bank, you know, having one of those terrible conversations with his banker when the place gets robbed. And that sort of inspires him to be like, well, I mean, these guys, they made it look easy. Maybe we can rob a bank and that'll solve all of our problems. And then that's the basic, that kind of kicks things off, and you have your, you know, your training montages, and, you know, he tracks down his daughter's ex-husband, to set him up with a low life to teach them how to rob a bank and all that jazz. And then you have the actual heist and the, you know, the aftermath and all that stuff. I wanted it to be good. Like, I wanted to enjoy it. But it just didn't work. Like, it's one of those things where the movie just, you got the impression that they got to the whole old people doing stuff phase of things, and they were like, oh well, that'll do it. Like, it's old people doing things. Right. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of that particular subgenre of comedy. I think it can work. But you know, you got to do a little bit more than, you know, make, you know, like, icky old people sex, and you know, I don't understand what the kids are doing today. Nah. Like, I need more than that.
Yeah.
That being said, first of all, it's a rare change for me to walk into a movie theater and lower the average age significantly. Yeah, I went to see the movie, and it was like, and I was the youngest person in the room by 20 years.
Nice,
you know. So I'm just like, oh, all right, I'm the hip youngster. This is nice. And those people loved this movie.
Well, I'm sure,
loved it. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh yeah, no, this movie, this movie wasn't made for me.
Well, they've been waiting for this since Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon died.
but yeah, it just, I don't know, like the one note premise kind of movie, I just can't, I struggle to get behind it, especially when you've got talented people involved. Like there's no reason for it. Like a guy like Ted Melfi, you can't tell me he can't write better jokes than a 5-minute scene where the three dudes sit on, in one of their apartments and bitch at The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Like they want, like it's a scene of them watching The Bachelor.
Well, you know, what made the original work is that there were some really tender, poignant moments in it too. And I'm guessing maybe they left those out of this version.
I mean, they sort of faint at it a couple of times, but yeah, like there's not a lot of genuine feeling in it, you know, and it's like, there are some subplots where it's like, oh, you know, like the relationship between Michael Caine and his granddaughter, and one of the guys is sick, and you know, they got to figure out and the other one like finds love and blah blah blah, and it just doesn't, you know. And it's not just those guys either, there are some really talented people like Matt Dillon's in this movie, Kenan Thompson shows up, Anne Margaret, who's great. I will say it was delightful to see Christopher Lloyd.
Wow.
Like Christopher Lloyd was in this movie, like in a couple of scenes. And it was one of those things where, you know, he plays this kind of crazy out of it guy. And you're just like, is he acting right now? You have those where it's like, oh, did he just wander in off the street? Like what is going on with
or
Christopher Lloyd?
Or is this what
right
happened
now?
To Jim Ignatowski from Taxi?
That's disappointing because it looked like a movie that had potential.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's kind of what I went into it with. But again, it just, for whatever reason, it didn't go far enough. Like I guess you can't rely on it. Just like lazy filmmaking. Like,
I'm older than you. Maybe I'll like it.
I think you might need a few more years before it's. Yeah, I just. Again, it's. I think that's an excellent way to put it. It's a movie that should have been better than it was.
Going in style. Alan telling us all about it here on Pass the Popcorn on Downtown.